21st, today's young people often experience high levels of anxiety. While many of us point fingers at things like too much screen time or social media use, our next guest has a different take. As a youth pastor, he spent plenty of time talking with young teens in his work. He noticed that many of the kids were feeling stressed and anxious about their everyday lives. So he decided to spend more time learning about what's causing them such high levels of stress. John Thornton Jr. is a Baptist pastor in North Carolina. His writing has appeared at Vox, Sojourners, and Commonweal magazine. He wrote the piece, "I Work with Kids. Here's why they're consumed with anxiety," for Vox.com. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, John, when did you first begin to notice that these young people you were working with were experiencing a lot of stress and anxiety?
When I first started the church, I heard from parents and friends that are teachers that kids seem more stressed, they seem busy. And then right when I started, I read a book called Kids These Days by a guy named Malcolm Harris that I actually reviewed for Commonweal. And he gives a kind of structural account of how our institutions have changed. And he talks about school and the way that school had shifted towards kind of career preparation, getting students to think more about their jobs. And so I read that right when I started. And like I said, his account is pretty structural and institutional. And so I wanted to know, like, what does this actually look like? Like, what on the ground does this actually look like for the kids that I'm working with? And so I just decided to start asking them.
And so you were in a retreat setting with a group of high school students who came from slightly different backgrounds, went to different schools, and you asked them to think about how they would describe their lives in just a few words. And what did they tell you?
Right. So it was actually middle and high school students. It was about a dozen students, kind of about two per grade from 6th to 12th grade. So I just had them take, 3 or 4 minutes and just write down, like, how would you describe your life in 3 or 4 words? And then we came back together and we had a whiteboard in the middle of the room. My handwriting is awful, so I had one of the students write down their answers, and we just kind of built a consensus. So we just kind of went around and someone said, well, stressed. And I go, okay, so who else feels stressed? Mm-hmm. Everybody's hand went up. Said, exhausted. Okay, who else feels overcommitted? And we got a series of words on the board. And so then I said, okay, so where do you feel these things? And that's when we started opening up the conversation of what their lives looked like and where these things were happening in their lives.
And what did they tell you? Where was this stress and anxiety coming from for them?
So the first thing that was just kind of a moment that where I was like, whoa, that's one that's different than when I was in middle school and high school. I'm 32. I graduated high school in 2005 and college 2008. Was when one of the middle schoolers said, yeah, it's just so stressful, you know? I mean, you're just worried about getting your grades sent to your phone. And I kind of stopped for a second and said, wait a minute, what do you mean? When I got my grades, they just handed them back to me, you know, in class, and then we'd get a report card. We hadn't moved to, like, online grading yet. And she goes, yeah, like, you know, we all have, they all have a kind of portal that their school uses for their grades to go online. And then, like all of our apps, you know, they go to their iPads and their phones. And so they get push notifications when a grade goes up. Now, they can turn these off, but that was a moment where I was like, whoa, that would be really stressful, right? Like, you would be out at the movies with your friends on a Friday, and your teacher's probably up late grading with a bottle of wine, and then all of a sudden you and your parents get a push notification that your grades have come in. And you find out, you know, you bombed a test or something like that.
Well, and I want to stop you there, because what you just said is another layer to it. Their parents are also getting these notifications.
Yes. Yep. So you sitting at dinner with your parents, and as we all do, we check your phones, and now all of a sudden you found out that, like I said, yeah, you bombed an assignment, or even you did well, and then you feel that sense of relief. But it's just kind of it's just right there with a sort of immediate access to your life. The way I put it in the piece was that, you know, a lot of times we think of phones and technology as distractions or ways for kids to remove themselves from social situations. But what I was actually seeing was that it went the other way. It was a way for their school to sort of intrude in their lives.
Well, and so much of what they're doing for school is technology based. So it feels like it would be really hard to kind of tease out the things like, oh, this is an okay thing to interact with whenever versus the, oh, the push notifications are a real problem.
Oh, totally. I mean, it'd be like asking anybody, you know, doing your job without email. You just kind of couldn't do it. I mean, you could, but it's just so woven into the fabric of things. They also all use a Remind, which is an app that it's kind of a texting app where teachers in the school can send out notifications to them to like remind them about homework. And so, you know, think about when I was a kid, like I just didn't have a phone with that capability. So I kept a calendar. I was in control of it. And some of the kids really like it because they would be horrible at keeping a calendar. I tried to plan events with them. I know they're not very good. They need these reminders. But then others, right, like they're really good at keeping time. And so it's just there's not a one size fits all, but they're all having to use these and they're not being taught. No one's taking a step back of asking which ones might be helpful for which students. It's just all for everyone.
We're talking with John Thornton Jr. He's a Baptist pastor in North Carolina, and we're talking about the piece he wrote recently for Vox.com called I Work With Kids, Here's Why They're Consumed With Anxiety. And John, one of the things that I think is really important to look at is the idea of career readiness. And, you know, in some ways, this is nothing new. There was a Facebook comment from Brandy who said, I graduated high school 18 years ago, and back then I remember all the pressure. They made it seem like you had to know what you wanted to do the rest of your life. I never knew you could begin college undeclared or that you could change your major. And I graduated high school a lot longer ago than 18 years. And that was true then, too. You know, there was this, you know, how am I going to decide what to major in? And, you know, I wonder if I'll get in. What can I do to make sure that that I set myself up for success? But it feels like what you've written about, kids today are really having that pressure multiplied and magnified to a level that it's really, really unhealthy.
Totally. And I hear that. And I hear and I was the same way. You know, I was thinking about what I might want to do with the rest of my life when I was graduating high school. What I began to notice with these kids is that it is now, it's not just people asking them to think about that. It is woven into the fabric of their education. So I mentioned in the piece that a middle schooler had been asked to fill out a life plan, and that included things like career, but also what school to go to, what major to take, those sorts of things. I've since done some more digging and found that this is basically like a state-by-state curriculum that's being put out there, and I would encourage listeners to look this up. I think in Wisconsin it's the ACP, Academic and Career Planning, and so it starts in middle school. And I think the big difference is not asking them to think about their futures, but the extent to which their careers are tied so closely into their education, and this every grade, every volunteer hour, things like that. And it starts in middle school with very specific questions and then carries on through high school. I mentioned in the piece these career cluster classes. And so high schools all over the country now are it's not just deciding what you want to major in college. It's actually taking classes in high school on agricultural business, finance. There's like about a dozen of them. So it's starting even earlier. It's not just needing to figure out what you're going to declare when you get to school. It is picking your high school classes around your career. Mm-hmm. And even beginning to think about that at sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. We went to a summer camp together, and there were a bunch of churches, different churches were gathered together, and they actually asked some of the kids, you know, in preparation for like one of the lessons that night, what is it that, you know, you want God to give you relief from? And they had a sixth grader who said he was really stressed about picking which high school to go to because there's a STEM high school near him, and he wants to go to a STEM high school, but they don't offer band, and he wants to go to a STEM high school because he wants a career in a STEM field, but they don't offer band, and he really loves band. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there just like, it's like breaking my heart. Like, you shouldn't have to decide that. But I think that's it's not just the pressure to know once you leave high school. I mean, it's literally sixth grade kids trying to decide which high schools to go to on their career trajectory and having to decide that in the course of their schoolwork and shaping their schoolwork around that.
Well, and it's interesting, John, because I could see an argument being made for this kind of structure and direction and trying to get kids engaged in thinking about their futures, for especially for kids who maybe are not getting support at home, or maybe parents who didn't go through a college process and so are kind of lost in how to help their kids. I could see an argument being made, well, you know, we're doing this so that all kids have access to this, but it seems like what all kids are getting access to is the same high level of stress.
Yeah, I think that's right. And at some point, it could be a diminishing return, right? And the fact is, people do change. On the one hand, people change their minds about what it is they want to do. But I also think it's preparing to send kids into a world in which careers exist. And we know that, looking at kind of the last 20 years of large kind of economic developments, right, that people change jobs a lot, that jobs are a lot less secure than they used to be. The idea of a career, whether that's working in one field for the rest of your life or even for a particular company, I mean, that doesn't really happen anymore. I want kids to think about the future, and I think that's important, but I think I worry about locking them in so closely to a particular field or area of study or work, what that's setting them up for.
We're talking with John Thornton Jr., a Baptist pastor in North Carolina. He wrote the piece, "I Work With Kids, Here's Why They're Consumed With Anxiety," for Vox.com. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Why do you think today's young people are experiencing so much anxiety? If you are a young person, we especially want to hear from you. Is thinking about your future and trying to make the best decisions stressing you out? What could the adults around you do to help? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our conversation about anxiety in young people with John Thornton Jr. John's a Baptist pastor in North Carolina and wrote the piece, "I Work With Kids, Here's Why They're Consumed With Anxiety." That was for Vox.com. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, teacher, or work with young people in some capacity, do you see an increase in anxiety in the teenagers in your life? Do you think we expect kids to think about their future too early? And do we talk too openly about financial stress with our kids? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or leave us a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And John, I just mentioned the financial stress, and that's something that I think is really interesting, because the landscape of what it takes to succeed has really changed. And it seems like a lot of kids today are feeling like all of this preparation and making the right decisions isn't about thriving, it's just about surviving. Where is that coming from?
Well, you know, I was wondering the same thing myself, and I started thinking about the fact that so many of these kids, parents and teachers and, you know, the adults in their lives, like me, who's, like I said, 32, I'm a millennial, have realized that something is sort of off with the kind of bargain, right, that you work hard, you do your job well, you get pretty good grades, and financially you'll be okay, right? You can maybe move up a little bit, but that's kind of the deal. That has certainly not always been true for everyone in this country. But that idea, and then I was like, oh, well, a lot of the adults in their lives are Gen X and millennials, the first two generations in about 100 years to do worse than their parents. So while I don't think a lot of us that are involved in their lives are explicitly telling them that financially and economically things are off, I also don't think we're telling them that kind of myth anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that I couldn't do that honestly, to tell them that this is all going to pay off, that you aren't going to have to worry about things like student debt or massive hospital bills, or that you'll one day be able to afford to buy a house. And so I'd never heard them talk about those things. I didn't ask, I haven't asked, but I don't know. It seemed to make sense to me. Like, why would the adults in their lives be telling those things if they themselves haven't experienced it?
Well, and I wonder how much is telling them versus it seems like something that maybe two parents talking to each other or a parent and a friend or, that it's just how they express their feelings about their lives and the trajectory that they've had. They might have kids in high school and they might still be paying off their own student debt. And so it feels like the kids are kind of steeped in this environment of, you know, it used to be enough to get decent grades, graduate from high school, then it was graduate from college, and now it's kind of all bets are off. You know, you better hope that you get lucky.
Totally. And I think kids are perceptive and they pick up on these things. I had, there's a student in the youth group and they were sort of out of town and her mom wound up breaking a bone in her foot and was in a good deal of pain. And they had to drive like 2.5 hours to come back to a hospital that was in network. And the student had to drive the parent. And so think about like, okay, so if you pick up on that and this is a family that does pretty well, and they still were going through this to like be careful to make sure you go to the right hospital to stay in network. I mean, like, that's the kind of thing that by the time you're in high school you pick up on those things, and so yeah, so I think kids are picking up on this, and I don't know quite what to do about it. The other way I've discovered that they probably are seeing these things more clearly. When I was digging around for the piece just to find some like interesting stuff, I found the 2014 AP English exam. And in the essay that it asked students to compose, the prompt starts off, the very first sentence says, "Many recent college graduates have faced record levels of unemployment." And then it gives them six sources that make various cases for why people should and shouldn't go to college. One of them just has a chart that just shows stagnated wages for college students. So this is in 2014, and 500,000 students across America took that test. So it's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hearing it. And so some of it's picking up on conversations, but 500,000 students took that test and just read. And these are AP students, so they're probably they're taking these classes to get college credit and just being told right to their face what life is like out there.
Let's go to the phones, and Gabe in Bayview is up. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What would you like to share?
I just wanted to say that I think people are young kids more so, and older teenagers are forced into thinking what they want to do basically for the rest of their life. And I just went into the trade myself. So I'm at that point where it really starts to matter. And, you know, it's not like I regret my decision, but, you know, there's a lot of things that I'd rather be doing. There's too much strain put on a young mind to what they want to do for the next 60 years, you know.
And, Gabe, do you have a sense of at what age you really started being aware of, geez, I have to make the right decision and I have to make the right decision now?
Honestly, right when I got out of high school, that was from the get-go. At that point, I was panicking. I moved out west. You know, I did a bunch of stuff, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted to do because I was forced into thinking what I wanted to do so early on.
Well, Gabe, thanks so much for sharing that. And, John, I'm guessing that what Gabe had to say is similar to what you've been hearing from the kids you work with.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I mean, think about how for so many people, those first few years out of high school are, whether they're in college or not, tend to be a period where kind of explore, figure out what you want to do, maybe change majors if you're in college, try out a few things. But, hearing what Gabe described is that you're being set up to, right out of the gate, have to figure it out.
We had a caller, Gina from Bayfield, who is an educator with kids in middle school and high school, and she wonders how much of this is pressure from the schools themselves.
One of the things that was interesting talking to the kids is, like, they, I never heard them complain, or I've heard them the proportion that I heard them complain about individual teachers or assignments was so minimal compared to the things that I named in the piece and that we've been talking about today. They seem to have a sense, because I actually asked them at one point on the retreat, like, do you think your teachers want this for you? And, like, is this – and they kind of got that, like, this probably isn't what the teachers want or how they want to be – you know, as individuals. I worked at an elementary school right out of college in Waco, Texas, and it didn't seem odd to me 10 years ago, but in hindsight, it was pretty wild, the amount of pressure that was put on the third through fifth graders with regards to the standardized test, because this has all these, like, funding implications. And we had a big pep rally when we got, like, a really good test score, and it was a low-income school. And so I think the schools play an instrumental role in this, but I also don't want to say chalk that up to any one individual teacher or say there's an individual educator to blame. I have friends that are teachers, and it's pretty brutal.
Well, John, thank you so much for sharing your reflections with us and for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
John Thornton Jr. is a Baptist pastor in North Carolina. His writing has appeared at Vox, Sojourners, and Commonweal magazine. He wrote the piece, I Work With Kids, Here's Why They're Consumed With Anxiety, for Vox.com.